Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig. This is Greg. We are very grateful that you are here with us. And that's what we want to talk about today is gratitude. So we kind of come towards the Thanksgiving season, a season of giving thanks. It always kind of makes me giggle a little bit when you think of Thanksgiving Day, you know, kind of like somebody goes, what's on my calendar today? Oh, it's the day to give thanks. like that should be the only day that you do it.
364 other days, right, I'll be ungrateful.
Those days I can grumble and complain.
I'll covet everything.
But, you know, so I know it's a lot easier to talk about what's wrong than what's right, to be ungrateful for the things that you're missing out on instead of being grateful for the things that you actually have. I work on that in my own life. But especially at Thanksgiving time, it just seems a little bit more conducive to talk about, like, how do we build this into our life? And you and I were trading some notes, and real quickly we discovered, you know, it's people that are grateful are really good leaders as well.
Awesome.
There's something about that. And that's what I want us to unpack in this episode is how do you see that correlation? What is it about being a grateful person that makes you a really good leader?
I'm not sure who gets the credit for quotes similar to this. Is it's much easier to draw to honey than something else.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at leadership, you've had a stellar career in being a leader, more of a servant leader, which I love. That's your book right there, little plug. I think there's an attraction. There's too easy to open your phone and look at negative news. You can go to a coffee shop or a beauty shop and you're hearing gossip and negative. So I think maybe the kryptonite to becoming an amazing leader is gratefulness as a choice, whether it's a mindset, right? You want to speak on mindset.
Oh, yeah. I think that we do have to catch ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to listen to what we're saying. Maybe even have a little debrief session with yourself afterwards. Like, boy, that was not, I would really kind of point into the negative there. Mm-hmm. And how can I turn that around?
I was having a conversation with another friend, not Cove Bro, but someone that's, you know, second or third. And I said, you know what I want to do? I want to quit being around more negative people. Mm. And when I quit talking about negative things, and ironically, that's what we ended up with our episode.
Yeah.
And I think it's so exhausting as leaders to hear people be negative. And you're like, so not only do I have to change that to positive, but then I have to get you to do what we all need as teammates to get to the finish line.
Yeah.
It's like wasted energy.
Well, you know how they say about junk food, the cliche is like a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah. Mine's a double lifetime. I know. Okay. I'm wearing Spando pants.
You got your Spanx on there?
Spanx, man Spanx.
The Bible says something about gossip being the same kind of thing, that gossip is like a tasty morsel. But you know, when you eat junk food, it does, like, on your taste buds for a minute, it tastes pretty good. Mm-hmm. But then, like, later on, you know, when that thing's just sitting in your stomach and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
I think that's how people are with the negativity and the gossip and that kind of stuff. It's like, did you hear? Oh, man, they really dropped the ball over there. Our boss is, when people are like that, it's really easy. Like, for a moment, that's really tasty. And then when you walk away from it, you're like, boy, I don't feel good about that. And because it's not uplifting. Nope. And that's why a lot of people that they talk about as they're scrolling through social media, how that lowers their emotional state to a darker place after they're done, because you're going through and you're like, oh, look at them. They really messed up. Right. And then you get done and you're like, So.
And time.
Right. So why do we want to do that to ourselves if we can just say, let's focus on what we have to be grateful for.
The influence. Speak about that, Craig. So someone who's grateful for an associate to come to you with a problem, how much different is their experience with you being grateful?
Sure. Well, I think that the grateful people are the ones that say, I'm glad that you trusted me to come to me, and I think that we can look at, this is not a glass half empty. This is not where everything's on the downward slide. I think there's an opportunity here for some growth out of this. That's what grateful people do. And so if somebody even comes to them with a problem, that you, they know that you're going to help reframe it a different way. I've had that several times where I've said to people, you know, is it possible that out of this tough situation that this might be an outcome, or maybe you're going to get this? I never thought of it that way. Yeah. And that's what grateful people do, is I think that there's more possibilities in your mind, because the negative people are like, oh, that's going to be a dead end. That's well, you're not even really thinking about the options here. Right. You're just so, you know, scarce mindset there.
I like the openness. So a grateful person, I have found, and even something for me to keep wrestling with, is they're more open to change, adaptation, something better, maybe considering something that they held true for a while, and maybe that's not true anymore. I think that's our challenge as leaders, is we have assignments,
sure.
Right? There's a pace and maybe some deadline, and then you got some moving parts. And to make sure that you're still open, if you're ungrateful, that's a pretty closed door.
Right.
Speak to that.
Well, you guys can answer this question really easily. In your workplace, would you rather have a grateful attitude or an ingrateful environment that you're around? I mean, I think that's a no-brainer if you ask somebody that question.
Why is it so hard?
Well, but see, I think that what it takes is, it's just, if just one person starts like, hey, why are we talking about this, guys? Why are we bashing that? Let's talk about this. Let's move on from, okay, we've covered it. If it's just one person that does it, after a while, you're going to have people that start going, oh yeah, let's not get on that. I remember once, I played basketball real early in the morning with some guys, and however my schedule worked out, I had like a week where I wasn't there. And I asked a buddy of mine, I said, how's basketball been going this week? And he said, I like it better when you're there. And I said, what, really? Why is that? And he said, because the guys swear less on the court.
What?
And I said, are you serious? And he said, yeah. He said, because I've been there when you're there, and I haven't. Now, never once have I ever looked at somebody and said, hey, don't say that. Don't use those. I've never said that to anybody. Mm-hmm. But apparently there's something about the way that, you know, I'm conducting myself out there that people go, I'm just going to hold that back. And I've heard people, now that he mentioned that, I've heard people go, son of a, you know, and they just swallow the rest of it and they don't say it. And I'm like, why? So I think the one person, one person can begin to change a whole environment. But if we start with the leader at the top,
right,
that can really filter down throughout the whole rank and file of the organization.
You're presented with a problem. Your team's around. We kind of want to draw them into the solution building, not sure. Just us, right? But they're like, so Mr. Owens, what would you do? Well, what would you all do? Because I'm not going to be here forever, right?
Yep.
I wonder about building consensus from being grateful. So like getting on the same page, but it's one person at a time. And after a while, you just eliminate the oxygen on the negativity.
Yep.
I was talking to a friend a couple weeks ago, and I said, you know, sometimes I have to be the disciplined person to say, enough, I'm done with the subject.
Right.
He's not here. Let's talk to him and do this right. Or that client or that vendor, you know, let's bring him in. Let's take a break. Let's not beat this up this bad.
Sure.
And discipline is the hardest part, because you have to go, how do we get into the negative woods?
Yeah.
And I think that's our challenge, to really watch the chemistry, the aroma, the culture of our company or orgs. Speak to that.
Well, and I think I like the paying attention to your words. Mm-hmm. You know, so we were kind of joking at the top about, you know, Thanksgiving Day, and you know, maybe some families have this tradition where maybe at the Thanksgiving table, you sit around and everybody kind of goes around the table and like says something that they're grateful for. I think that you can begin to do that in your organizations without sitting around the table or without even using the word thankful or grateful. You know, you don't have to come to an employee and say, I am so grateful that you, but you can convey that in other words. And so I think that if you're just intentional about your words, you know, I need to, and I know you used to do this, you know, where you would pick out some people, you know, really haven't interacted with them a lot. I'm going to just leave them a quick note. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop by their desk and just say something. When that's intentional, it begins to, like you said, it just starves. It takes the oxygen away from all the other stuff.
I know it's a temptation, humanity, right? To complain about something. I remember doing a blog years ago about the comment card that a restaurant has. Yeah. And I asked one of the proprietors, I said, so what do you get out of that? What do you use with it? Well, nothing, because it's all negative.
Yeah.
It wasn't constructive.
Yes.
It was just complaining.
Right.
Let's add a word to grateful. And I think when you have had people come to you, they may be in trouble. They may have struggled with something. Maybe they're wrestling with, you know, can I do this? Or the team's not going to meet the deadline. Gracefulness. Mm. As we treat others, if we're grateful.
Yep.
Do those correlate pretty close?
Oh, I think so too. I think you could almost interchange those. People that are grateful people, full of gratitude, I think are also people that are full of grace. Yeah. They're graceful people. And I'll tell you, and I'm going to tell myself, I'll use myself as an example on this. You know what you're full of when you get bumped, right? Mm. So like if you're carrying a mug full of hot liquid and you get bumped, that hot liquid jostles out of you and it burns you. That's, I think, the best place to gauge is when somebody hits me, says something about me that I wasn't expecting.
Right.
What comes out of me then? Is it graceful words? Mm-hmm. Are they grateful words? If they're not, then that's, I need to go back to the mirror. I need to go back to take care of myself, because that means I'm not full of the stuff that I'm preaching.
I wish to be grateful, and I wish to have gracefulness towards others, for others, because I needed it, and mercy as well.
Yeah.
When you don't have the gracefulness in there, what do you do to get it back?
Well, I think for me, what I found is it's when I'm drained physically, emotionally, spiritually, when the tank is empty, it's kind of like, you know, if you have a bruise, you sort of protect that part of your body.
Yeah.
You know, you twist an ankle, you lean on the other ankle. You're trying to protect that one. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's the same thing. It's like when I'm empty, I'm trying to protect that. And as a result, I'll keep people away. And so for me, if I found that I don't really like those words that were coming out, I don't like the thoughts that I was thinking, I walk away from that conversation going, oh man, that was just a kind of a, I didn't steer that conversation in a positive way. I need to go back and get full. So I need to make sure.
What do you do?
Well, sometimes I might be taking a nap if I'm physically tired. What are the things that fill my emotional bucket? What do I need to do with that? Spiritually, you know, I found that the days that my Bible reading time, my prayer time was rushed because of something happened, those are the days I'm probably going to snap a little bit more or have more of a tendency to go negative than positive. It's a little harder for me. I want it to be natural. I don't want to be,
true.
Wait a minute. I need to be thankful here. I want it to just be natural. I want it to just, you know, flow out of my life. And if it's not, if I'm having to work at it, don't say that because that's negative. Mm-hmm. That tells me that I'm not really full of the stuff that I need to be full of.
This would be where I would do the punt. So you are full of something.
I'm full
saying.
Of it.
That's what I'm saying. Let's connect gracefulness, even mercy, you know, with the grateful.
Sure.
And how does that correlate with your book title, Shepherd Leadership?
Yeah.
As you wish to serve, lead, move people, protect people, put them in right spots. How does that connect?
Well, if a servant isn't grateful for the opportunity to serve, then they're going to be very off put when somebody says, would you do that for me? You looking down on me? You're treating me like a servant.
I'm not your grunt.
Yeah, exactly. but when you are like, I get to serve people, not I have to serve people, you're going to stay in it. You know, I think that, you know, we have a lot of word in the English language. We will have a lot of things that fall underneath the word love. Yeah. You know, I mean, we can say that we love Italian food, and then we can say we love our spouse, we love our kids. But, you know, we all know if somebody came up to us with a gun and said, give me your spaghetti or give me your kids, you know, you're going, well, I have my spaghetti, right? So we don't mean the same kind of love.
Right.
I like in the Greek language, the word for love that is the servant leader love is agape. Yeah. I heard somebody describe that once as agape love isn't the kind of love that is like tuxedos and ballroom gowns and candlelit dinners. It's like work clothes, calluses on your hands, mop bucket, and you're still and you're still grateful to do that. Mm-hmm. Like I get to serve this person. This is how I'm going to express my love. Mm. I get to serve you. And going back to what you asked earlier about, you know, how do you replenish? I need to do that because that's how I'm going to serve the other person.
Good point.
I don't serve them very well if I'm empty.
That really would be an audience cue, right? So write down how you refill your tank,
yeah,
because that's what we are. We're vessels.
Yep. Right?
We pour into others. We fertilize. Yep. We water. Let's chat about gratefulness and how that mindset will help us get through difficult times,
yeah,
scenarios, situations.
Well, I think that it changes your whole perspective. If you're in the dark tunnel and you see the light, if you're an ungrateful person, you're like, oh, that's an oncoming train. You know, we're just going to get socked again.
Too bright.
Yeah. But but if you're a grateful person, you'll be like, well, yep, we're in the tunnel, but I see the light coming. We're going to get out of this pretty soon. We're we're heading to the right direction. And that's really the difference.
Right.
The ungrateful person really can't. They can't see anything better because they're so focused on the negative. And then that just, like we said earlier, you're eating that junk food and then you're like sitting around going,
yeah,
I feel awful. Well, right. Of course you do.
Yeah.
You haven't put anything good in. So what do you think is going to happen?
I did a training years ago that was kind of change oriented. And I decided to put they say change management. You don't manage anything in change. You lead it.
Yes.
It'll be ugly.
Yeah.
There's a window of time where you're going through chapters. We got to change this. Ooh, that's ripping off a Band-Aid. Ooh.
Yeah.
Or I got to stretch that muscle because I was in rehab. Ooh. But I think that's my hope from our podcast and content to the audience is that they figure out how to get through the tough times and not lose themselves.
Yep.
But the change leadership one, I've done a lot of research on it. And it shows there's change agents in an organization.
Yes.
Ironically, I never connected the two, but change agents would be grateful.
Yep.
Because they're not afraid to give up what was a conclusion before.
Yes.
For something better in the future because they're grateful.
Right.
Ungrateful, I guess, or an unhappy person might find something wrong with everything.
Absolutely,
they're exhausting, aren't they?
Yes.
So I think that's something to kind of play with. So we go full circle from gratefulness as a choice.
Yep.
But if you get tired, you got to choose to fill yourself up so you can serve again.
Yep.
I think the graceful. What you put those in our notes, and I'm like, that's really good because out of gratefulness, there is agape.
Yeah.
You know, like I get it. I don't know what she's going through. I need to go shoulder to shoulder with her and just figure out how she's doing.
Right.
Or, you know, he really feels pretty bad. I'm going to go jump in and make sure that he knows he's appreciated. Let's play a little bit, a few more minutes to go here. Play with the happy versus joy and how gratefulness really separates those two.
Yeah. I think happiness is when you say, oh, look at all the stuff that I have.
Oh, there you go.
You know, and joy can be, I've got some stuff. There's other things that I don't have right now. I'm content with where I am. Things are going to, you know, get better as we go down the road. I think joy is a lot harder to lose. Happiness can be gone in just a second. You know, you're like, hey, look at my new toy that I have. Oh, it just fell and broke. I'm not happy anymore.
I was out at a function to raise money for a really good cause. And I saw a person who had the same outfit as another person at the event. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, I hope they don't see each other. And I'm sure they got ready and they're like, oh, look at my outfit.
I
picked it out. I got some bling with it. You know, I'm she has the same dress.
Right.
Right. You know, right. And you're like, and the happiness just left.
Right.
You know, instead of being joyful, like I'm at the event, I'm raising money for veterans or whatever, you know, homeless or whatever the story is. And the dress or the outfit is like, oh, I don't even feel special anymore.
I know.
It's just a fleeting moment. And and that other person probably came into the room thinking, I got my things together and everything. She has that. I just think it's interesting. It's fleeting.
It sure is.
You know, the countenance. I love this line. I think McCarthy, the coach for Colorado for Promise Keepers, said this. If you want to see what the man's like, look at the countenance of his spouse. Hmm. And I thought, because that's inside.
Sure.
That's not circumstantial, like, oh, yep. I got her a new Escalade. She has a new ring now. She's so happy for a minute.
Right.
And then she sees another person with a bigger ring.
Or the car gets in an accident.
Yeah. Or a little, it gets a little rust on there over years. Play with that on gratefulness and how it's so important to stay joyful. What's the attraction there?
Yeah. Well, you know, I challenged my congregation one year. Originally just called it the 365 challenge, and I wanted everybody to write down one thing every day that they found that they were grateful for that day.
Wow.
Without repeating themselves. Do 365 things.
Ooh.
And
how many could you do?
Well, being the overachiever that I was.
Oh, come on. This
I challenged myself to do three things every day without repeating myself. So at the end of the year it's 1,095 things. That was way harder than I thought. I'm like, because it really made me look at the things that I take for granted all the time. Like going over and turning the faucet on and having drinkable water come out of my faucet. Why do we just take that for granted? Because there's a lot of people around the world that don't have that.
We haven't had people in Michigan don't have good water.
Right. So it's not hard if you open, and that year totally opened my eyes. I began to see such little things that I'm grateful for that. Mm-hmm. Isn't it wonderful just that we have this?
Yeah.
And there was a couple of people that like looked at me like I was kind of weird. You know, they're like,
I didn't look like you, did I?
Why are you saying that you're grateful for that? I'm like, don't you realize if we don't have that, what we're missing out on?
And right.
So I think that it's a muscle. Got to exercise it. You got to stretch it. And once you start doing it,
yeah,
and that's why I said earlier, don't just make it Thanksgiving Day, but use that as a launching point. And, you know, maybe you could challenge yourself. I'm going to find one thing that I'm thankful for every day and then write it down. Write that down, because then when the times get tough,
yeah,
let me go back to my journal here and look at all of these things I wrote down that I'm grateful for. And a lot of these things that I wrote down that I'm grateful for, they're still in my life today.
Right.
Some of those toys might have gotten rust or might have broken or been lost or whatever. I didn't put that on my list because the things I put down that I'm really grateful for are the things that, you know, like a friend that is there for me. And, you know, those friends are still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think that's our finish. That's our assignment, maybe to the audience.
You know. There's your assignment.
Yeah. You don't think they went to school today.
But listen, you know, not only write it down, but express it too. Express your gratitude. Yeah. Like we talked about earlier, find ways, and you don't have to go to a teammate and say, I'm grateful for you or I'm thankful that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those phrases, but challenge yourself and be creative to express your gratitude to those people on your team and watch and see how they respond. As Greg mentioned, those change catalysts, if you go to them first, if you've identified them in your organization and you begin to express your gratitude for them, watch and see how they're going to start doing the same thing. And it's just going to, I think it'll snowball throughout the whole organization.
It's infectious for a good reason.
It really is.
Yeah.
But that's how we want to help resource you too. We're grateful. Like we said right at the top, we are grateful for you. We're grateful when you send us questions and say, hey, can you talk about this? Or sometimes a little pushback, like, what did you mean when you said this? That's how we want to continue to resource you. We're here to serve you. We want to see your leadership get better, because then everything around you is going to get better as well. And it's going to make the whole world a better place. So leave a comment below on this video. Reach out to us on X at Maximize Podcast. There's a lot of different ways that you can get a hold of us. Go to MaximizeLeadership.com. There's resources there. There's even some places you can fill out if you say, I think I might need some help in coaching or some other areas. Fill that form out and we'll get back to you. But keep coming back here. Stay tuned. We've got lots of great content that's going to be coming your way. We are grateful for you. Make it a very grateful time of year, but extend it. Keep going day after day, month after month, through this whole year.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.